shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we're again very grateful to be allowed to come together. We know, Lord, that time such as this is not spent in vain, because your word has not been vain. As far as we know, we have not made it that way. We have not taken traditions and done away with your word, or superimposed them upon your word, or mixed them with the word. Lord, we believe that we have the pure, unadulterated word of the hour, and somehow by grace we believe that we stand with it. Not of ourselves, Lord, but we believe the very elect cannot be deceived. We count ourselves a part of that blessed, elected, selected group of this end time, Lord, and we just commit ourselves to you in faith, therefore, tonight, that you'll instruct us and lead us further. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I was going to play Brother Brown's tape tonight, but I'm not doing that at this point, and I also want to mention Brother David Yancey from Down Under. Nathan George is with us. Appreciate him being here. And we're going to go to the little booklet, One in a Million. Now, I'm not giving up on the rapture. It's just that this is some material I want to bring to your attention. And we'll be going to the rapture tape, the message. And hopefully Sunday I'll get into back to the Day of the Lord. I'm just not sure, but I think that I will. Now, in page 2 of the One in a Million, preached in L.A. in 1965 series, Brother Branham says, "We've been having great service, great times in the services and other places. I don't get out too much anymore. It's so busy. We just try to keep the road hot between Jeffersonville, Indiana, and Tucson, Arizona, where we moved out there a few years ago by a vision of the Lord that sent us out there too, not knowing where I was going. Many of you here at Clifton's, that's a cafeteria, I spoke to you a little before I left in the Phoenix meeting of the vision that had come. I saw seven angels in a cluster." He's on the radio. "And I know to the radio audience, perhaps many of you are not full of gospel, and this may seem a little mysterious to you, which it would to me, but there is anyone who can explain anything, you don't have to accept it anymore by faith." He's telling you if you can explain it there, you don't have to worry about faith, it's finished. It's things that we cannot explain that we have to accept by faith. We can't explain God. No man can explain God. He's sovereign, and he is great and mighty. We just accept it because we know he is there. And then by our faith and accepting it, he brings the response back to us, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which I'm just going to speak to you about in a few moments here on God's Way, a place of worship. And the only place that you can worship him, the only place he'll ever meet you, there is one church, one place, one time, one people, in all that God meets. And I hope that the Lord blesses the message to your hearts here. Now, coming to Tucson, it was strange, those visions speaking to you in the name of the Lord. Not one of them, as I ever can recall, will anyone else, if they can recall any time, that he ever did say anything but what was the truth. It always happens just the way he says it will happen. Now, the next statement is in paragraph is what you really want to watch, and he's letting them know that what he's into is exceedingly supernatural, and it is absolutely the Word of God. Now, and notice what he says. Always happens just the way he says it will happen. "And he is supposed to, according to the Scriptures, return to us in the last days in this type of ministry." Now, the thing is, when you hear people say, "I've been known here for 29 years, that's a little bit ridiculous. And they say, "He's here, so what?" They can't understand English. Now, I can't return to this building unless I leave it. Now, how long do we have to suffer brain injury? Scarred tissue of the mind and heart before we blast. Because this has come from the sublime to the entirely ridiculous, the unbelieving, and the blaspheming. Otherwise, I don't know why God sent a prophet. If he speaks mumbo-jumbo, I am not a mumbo-jumbo artist. I don't have a 12 IQ. I don't have a 200. But I can take a 4-year-old kid and say, return to the place you left. People are talking about William Branham in a return ministry, not even knowing that Jesus had a return ministry. Now listen. He is supposed to, according to the Scripture, return to us in this last days. So he's been away somewhere. And there's no return until last days, which is now, if this is the last days. Now he says this type of ministry. Now what type of ministry? That's a good question. Well, let's find out. Now, let's get it again. He is supposed to, according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures have already said there will be a return ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days. That's right. Now, let's place it further. Listen to what he says. That will be after the baptism of the Spirit and the speaking in tongues and divine healing and so forth, these things. Now, he never obviates the ministry that's set forth in Mark. These signs shall follow them that believe. But he's talking of a very special ministry. See? That is obviated until a certain time, a ministry that categorically repeats what it was in the beginning when? When he was here on earth in the first days. All right. The camping of the Pentecostal message is what we're speaking of today. This ministry of Christ himself impersonated among his people with the very same things that he did when he was here on earth, in his body, the bride, which is part of him, doing the things as husband and wife, or king and queen just before the marriage ceremony. All right. The capping of the Pentecostal message is what we're speaking of. Okay. Now, you know my favorites over here in and you're never going to get off the hook with this one. I figure if there's certain things you can learn, you'll never go astray. If you don't get this, you never went in the first place. Now, he tells you here, on this article of, are you the Son of Man? Or the I thought the pillar of fire was the Son of Man. And he tells you about this Logos. And then he tells you that, well, what's the difference? We'll read it to you and memorize it. Page 1019 COD. Now, that pillar of fire is the Logos that went out of God. Now, he identifies the pillar of fire as the Logos. The Logos is the pillar of fire. He's going back to the beginning. The Logos is actually the attribute of the fullness of God. Now, an attribute is not the source. It is not the thing itself. They are demarcations or that which would categorize or delineate upon the source. In other words, a thing there has attributes, and those attributes set it apart and in a class from other things. Now, the attribute of the fullness of God. When God became into a form to where it could be seen, it was the anointing of the great Spirit that went forth. It's condescending coming down. God the Father, the Logos, that was up over Israel. Now, what he's telling you there in plain English, when God began to form himself in such a way that he finally come down here and become a man, he tells you he started out there as a pillar of fire. And there he was visible over Israel. He was holy, could not bear sin. There had to be blood offering right in Eden. So there he was Logos back there too. Then that Logos become flesh and dwelt among us. And where this Logos dwelt in a human body, which was the sacrifice. Man was made in the image of God. And then God came down the image of man to redeem man. That brought man and God together. Heaven and earth hugged and kissed each other. God and man embraced each as fatherhood and sonship. They embraced each other, that is. So you see, God the Father and God the Son, absolutely in the two offices in one person. That's when the Logos was flesh. Jesus said, I came from God, I go to God. After his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, when the body was taken up to set at the right hand of God. Now, the body's not God. The body's a special act of creation and forming. The creation was the sperm and the egg, which literally was a part of Logos. And the chemistry of the woman brought forth the body. So here you got a special manifestation. Jesus was not like Adam. He was not like us. Now, I don't mean God's got a right hand. God's spirit. Right hand means power and authority. All right? Now this Logos that was in him, that's in that one back there, in the flesh, which was the Spirit of God, the anointing, through the sanctifying grace of the blood, brought many sons to God, which is anointed with the same Logos. In other words, the sons came back to God by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Remember, you are a son, that's why you get the Holy Ghost. You don't get the Holy Ghost and become a son. God doesn't give the Holy Ghost to chickens. I'm sorry. A lot of people are all mixed up in their thinking. They're too legal. That's why there's no such thing as a praise worship without understanding sovereignty. Brought that out now to you. Now on the day of Pentecost, it came down that pillar of fire and broke apart like that, and tongues of fire sat upon each of them, not their tongues, but tongues of fire sat upon each of them, and elected, selected, group identified by this pillar of fire, showing that God had separated himself into men. That's right. You're identified when you receive the Holy Ghost. Do you get it? God the Logos separating himself into men. God not in one person. He's in his church, universal. That's the reason Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do also more. King James Version says, greater, but right translation, more you'll do. God was bottled and confined in one man, Jesus Christ. Now he's bottled and confined in the whole universal church of living God. Now does that mean the whole of God's in the church? Hogwash. It's the only place he will be. I wave my arms, says one guy here. I wave my arms to God. I breathe in God. That's vomit. That's nauseating. What kind of claptrap and balderdash is that? Pantheism. So how is he bottled in the church? He's only bottled in the same way he was bottled in Jesus Christ for a purpose. But the whole of God is not in the church, never was and never will be. Or how do you pray, Father, which art in heaven? There's no way. You just can't do it. You can be very misunderstood here in this. Right now, while God is here speaking to us in our hearts, he's in Africa, in Asia, in Europe. He's in England. Wherever believers are gathered together, he's in the midst of them. Thereafter, he did burial, ascension, coming of the Holy Ghost. Paul on the road down, which was Saul to Damascus. He was struck down by a pillar of fire, the Logos. And that Jew never would have called that pillar of fire Lord unless he knew it was the same Logos his people followed during us. Now, that was not the Son of Man. That was the Logos. That's exactly right. The Son of Man, per se, was taken up in body, the right hand of majesty on high. And there's no such thing as an incarnation of him, either. His people would like to have it. Or ascended masters and all that stuff. Now, we say this with reverence and love and respect. See, is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And also, that in the last days, as it was before Lot's time, right here, he is supposed to, according to Scriptures, return to us in this last days in this type of ministry. Well, listen, you can't have two people in the two last days. You got one last days and one person. What's he talking about? We say with reverence, as Jesus Christ is saying yesterday and today and forever, and also that in the last days, as it was before Lot's time, or in Lot's time in Sodom, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man reveals himself again, revealing himself. Now, what is he saying? So therefore, in this ministry, there is a revelation. See? Now, in the last days, the Logos was upon Jesus, which he has become that from that back to the pillar of fire again, and has descended down to the earth. Now, remember, he was over Israel. Now, he's descended down to the earth. He's not over, he's down here. If I understand English. Maybe I don't understand English. Yeah, supposed to have some kind of jabberwocky. Alice in Wonderland, and Brother Branham was a famous Alice in Wonderland looking in a crooked mirror. And tell us about some kind of a crooked God and aberrations and illusions, contusions and confusions and God knows what. I can't buy it. He's here. Say what you want. I'm not a jabberwocky. I don't play with decks of cards. And contortionist mirrors. And Alice in Thunder, and Malice in Thunderlands, as Bob Brown says. He descended down on earth. I was going to say something, but I watched the tape. They wouldn't believe it. You told them that wouldn't make any difference. He's a peer, wouldn't believe it. I'll admit that. But has come down for like an investigating judgment goes on. He's talking about those flying saucers. Reflections. They're seeing things. Judgment going on. Who was in that ring pillar of cloud up there? The angels. The judge. Not in his glorified form. And this great pillar of fire that's absolutely identified by scientific cameras that's here on the earth today. Not the cameras, but the pillar of fire that's on the earth. Anybody knows the cameras on earth, unless they're up there swooping around. We're not dealing with astronauts and scientific, you know, junkum. Pillar of fire is here. He said, that's the picture of it hanging there. I believe it's still there, isn't it? George Lacey said, I called a psychologist myself, Reverend Brandon, but the light struck the lens. Put it under ultra-ray lights and had examination here 4 or 5 days. The light struck the lens. This light won't take psychology. Now, that's identified. What's identified? The pillar of fire is identified that is here on earth. What more do you want? When was he here? As a pillar of fire? No, sir. Not since the day of Paul, the apostle. 2,000 years. Now, watch the works of it. What? The pillar of fire, the Logos. It among us proves the same Jesus that once lived in Palestine. The same spirit was upon him, has come up through a body until it's come back to headship again. When was it headship? When it first came down. Now it's come up through a body. See? Now it's back to where it was. Which he's coming soon to claim the body. Even though he's here, he's not claiming. He's separating. Bringing in. Revealing. Okay? Can't claim it till he comes down. We meet him. Now listen to it. The head's coming to the body. You get it? That will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. Well, just a minute. At that time, the claiming of the body, we leave the Son of Man and go to Son of David. Incarnation. The I am the Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, the Morning Star. I am not he, I am his servant. The pillar of fire is not he, it's in spirit form, which was upon the Son of Man. And has now come now to anoint sons of men, to bring back a ministry, just exactly like he said it would be, in order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. In other words, through 7 church ages, the baptism with the Holy Ghost finally brings us to the place of complete headship. And he's right down here. Gonna take us up to bring us into the very presence in the incarnation when the head and the body will join together. Well, that's what he's saying. I just beg to differ with these men that smart off. All right. Now listen, he is supposed to, according to scriptures, return to us in this last days in this type of ministry. All right? He's supposed to do that. We go to the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter. This is what Brother Branham used to show that he come to the Gentiles. All right. Now, verse 12, when Jesus had heard John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now you notice it says here that John was cast into prison. And then Jesus went to a place that was designated as to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were to receive a great light. They sat in the region of the shadow of death, and light has sprung up. And from that time, Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, you will notice in here that as soon as John the Baptist was put in prison off the scene, there was only one message left. The kingdom absolutely was in full view. Now, William Branham is our John the Baptist. There's only one message left. The kingdom is in view. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, because that's exactly what John the Baptist was to bring into view and at hand by turning the hearts of the father children. And so William Branham would do exactly the same at the end time. Now, the scripture I use, and I'm prejudiced, I'm going to take the 12th chapter of Matthew. Because this is much fuller. And it's my job to take scripture like any preacher supposed to. Brother Branham said, break it down and feed it to people. All right. In verse 15, when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, and I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now you know that you've got a break there of 2,000 years, the same as when the book was opened and closed. A 2,000 break. Because it says, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And at that time, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Now that was not in the days of his flesh. He strove, he cried. He got angry. He fought continuously. He kicked out the money changers. He insulted the high priest. He beat him up and he beat him out. And he shouted. He said, he raised his voice at the feast when he should have kept his mouth shut according to protocol and ethics and standards and all that junk. When they got through with their great time, he raised his voice in contradistinction to everything they stood for. He started an argument. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to me. Why, they said, you stupid jerk. He precipitated a battle. He strove continuously. His voice was heard in the streets continuously because they kicked him out. He didn't have another place to preach. And it says the bruised reed he will not break. That's entirely wrong. In Israel, he took away everything they clung to, was their strength and their foundation, and he ripped it out and spread it across the world, and they haven't got any since. The smoking flax, which signifies life, he took the life out, and the life is only one place today. It came through the blood and through the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And the rest come in under election, but they don't make the bride. They will not do it. But to the Gentiles, when our system was rotten, he said way back there under the church ages, he said, don't you kill the oil and the wine. He said, you keep it moving, moving. And in our day, he said, I'll send Elijah so I don't destroy the whole system. He said, come out of her, bride. Now let the system go where it's going to go. And he brought the life into the church. And there's a bride standing here that's not going to die. That is Christ coming to the Gentiles. That is he in spirit form. That is that one at this hour. Now, where was he here before doing it? There's nobody can say he was here before doing it. No. No, I get sick and tired of it. Yep. Okay. He's supposed, according to the scriptures, return to us in the last days. And this type of ministry, that'll be after the baptism of the Spirit. And the speaking in tongues. And the divine healing and so forth, these things. He tells you that the end time and the restoration of gifts absolutely brings on this ministry, which couldn't be there before. So Pentecost had its place, but it doesn't have a place any longer. Now, the capping of the Pentecostal message is what we're speaking of today. Now, he says the capping of the Pentecostal message is what we're speaking of today. There is therefore a capping. And I read it to you, and how it was done precisely as it was set forth in COD 10:19 is on. This ministry of the Christ himself impersonated among his people with the very same things he did when he was here on earth. Now, you look at the word impersonated. That, of course, is not the right word. Well, you look at the word where he impersonate, where he used it right to begin with. We go over here to the book of Rapture, and you go to page 6 to begin with, or page 7, I forget which it is, page 7. All right. In paragraph 34, when Moses went down into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel, with only a stick in his hand for vindication, with the God of heaven behind him, he performed a miracle. There came the impersonators behind him doing the same thing he did. Brother Branham also mentioned impersonators. Can we look for an impersonation of truth? He says, certainly we can. Now, also, we want to go to page 24. And in page 24, the bottom of the page, 117. Now it's all to be manifested in the grain of wheat at the end. That's all the scripture is going to be manifested. God bringing the entire program of the ages, human-wise, through the first resurrection, all that word will be there. Alright. Now if you take Luke, the 17th chapter 30th verse, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man begins to reveal himself, what is revealed? Make his revelation of what he is in this day, revealed out to the people, the word that's made known for the day, revealed to the people by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, making that Jesus live amongst us. What Jesus live amongst us? The Jesus of the pre-incarnation. The Jesus that dwelt in a human body is living amongst us in the form of the Holy Spirit, absolutely manifesting and identifying in his true character exactly who he is. Now, you can't deny it. And remember, he was represented here, there in a man, a man. Now, there you are. The word represented. Now, watch it. Over here, he says impersonate. So, we want to get what he means. And remember, he was represented there in a man, a man. He said, as it was. Now, he read the same Bible we read, Genesis. Now, we notice in that Genesis chapter, there when Jesus was speaking about it, we find there that in that, with his back turned to the tent, and Sarah in the tent, he said he asked a question. Now, she didn't believe that what was going to happen could happen. And he said, now, Abraham, I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. And Sarah in the tent laughed about it and said, why did Sarah laugh in the tent, saying, how can these things be? Jesus promised that was him. Abraham called him Elohim, the Almighty, that was him. Now, the Bible predicts it will return again in the last days. Jesus said so. But when you see these things begin to come to pass, just remember when this starts to take place, that it's when you know the time is nigh at the door. What's he talking about? The rapture. The wedding supper. So he tells you here, what he really means with the word impersonate is means God in a person. Not impersonated, but in person. God in a person. That's what he's really saying. Now, how far do I want to go here? Look at the world. Look at the world. Sodom, if there was a Sodom. People, look at the people perverted in such a perverting. Their minds are perverted. They don't know what common decency is. Look at the outlaws, homosexuals, everything else. Look at the women, what a rampage has made. Look what a rampage of indecency, immorality amongst the women. You say, that's Methodist, that's Pentecostal too, it's the whole thing. Look at the men. Instead of the word of God, some little tradition or denomination, they hang on to it. Instead of coming out, when they see God make himself known perfectly. Now that word is phaneroo, which is to manifest in his true character, proving exactly who he is or what's going on. Now, so notice, let me get a little further here. Now, we're living in the seventh church age. And when the Bible said that this seventh church age, when the messenger of the seventh church age began to sound his message, that the mysteries of all the things that have been twisted up down through the ages would reveal in that time. And here it is, the Son of Man coming among his people and doing justly, doing exactly, confirming his message as he said he would, we find in the last age. Now listen. He's talking about the seventh age and no other age, so this could not happen until William Branham was firmly established here on earth as a person, the same as Moses was. Now, what are they talking about? I've been knowing he's here 29 years. Why? He's always been here. What's the difference? Now, somebody's sick.
They get very upset when Bob Brown says, if you don't understand presence, you can't understand Godhead. I got news for you. Bob Brown's exactly right. When people are so far from the Word, after all this time, there's something wrong. Now, of course, I can't make them see things any more than I can make myself see anything, but we want to get this down flat. And the reason I'm saying these things is because some of these people are leading good people astray. They're turning fine young people into loud mouth blow-offs that haven't got enough brain spirits to get out of the rain. Now, that's a hard thing to say, but I can prove what I'm saying. Now, this ministry of Christ himself impersonated in a person amongst his people with the very same things he did when he was here on earth. In his body, the bride, which is part of him, doing the same things as husband, wife, or king and queen just before the marriage ceremony. Now, he's telling you categorically there that when one person who has the responsibility in his person of bringing forth this manifestation, the bride is doing it. Because there's no place that I can ever go to a court of law. And they caught me red-handed picking up a handful of diamonds. And I'd say, well, the thing is, my hand did it, I didn't. Now, listen, they had a law for that years ago, and they still got one over there where Cotopi is. That they catch you stealing, they cut your hand off. That takes care of your hand. But let me tell you one thing. The body suffers. Paul equated one member to the whole body when he said, if one member suffers, the whole body suffers. William Branham categorically, time after time, in several places, which means time after time, because several is more than three, absolutely defines that when one member does it, the body does it. Now, is my book of seals here? Or did I leave that outside? Could be. Be on the front seat. It's not in that. It's not in there. I think I picked it up and brought it in. But anyway, there's a book of seals at the back. If there's not one here, get me a book of seals. There's one back there, Bill. I must have put that down when I thought I brought it in. I put it in the car, as far as I know. I want to take you to the seals, page 567, before we read any further. But it's over there. How'd you get there? It's my wife. Yes. Thought I saw it there. You know how to get in real hot water, kid. You just whoever put that there. I don't think I did. 567. All right, I got it. She started preaching my sermon. She's in trouble. All right, 567. I need this book here for my pages here. I think it is 500. Get the right page now. And I got this number. Okay. Fine. This ministry, didn't it? It may be time. It may be the hour now that this great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene may rise on the scene. Maybe this ministry that I have tried to take the people back to the Word has laid a foundation. And if it has, I'll be leaving you for good. There won't be two of us here at the same time. If it is, he'll increase, I'll decrease. I don't know. But I've been privileged by God to look and see what it was. Unfold to that much. Now that's the truth. Now what is he talking about? He's talking about the very same thing that I brought to your attention here. And reading over in the COD, the Church Order and Doctrine, of going back to a headship. See? That he is here. And the prophet in whom this ministry resides, which the Son of Man is in the form of the Spirit. Pillar of fire standing there. William Brown is standing over here. The entire motivation of the Holy Spirit bringing forth this perfect ministry in a man. As he one place said, the fullness of the Godhead in human flesh. Now, when he is through with that ministry, and it is thoroughly established, through presence and the revelation, manifested perfectly as who is here. The prophet decreases, goes off the scene. And we are right back to headship, 100% perfect headship. Which headship in the spirit is going to bring us to the physical headship where this one takes us up and the body and the head come together. All right. So much for that portion. Now, he says here, the ministry of Christ himself in a human being, among his people with the very same things he did when he was here on earth. And remember, he extended that to the place of when he was here on earth to the Sodom and Gomorrah arena where God in a human form did, and not in the flesh of Jesus, but in a human form of Theophany, performed that which showed who he was, and the same thing showing you that this is the last days, that this is the time this ministry did and does appear, and when we get out of here, the earth is going to burn. Now, when was that ministry here before? When is here before doing that? See, somebody's wrong. And they keep sneering at this fact that he's here. How in the world can you sneer at God? Act like don't call yourself a child of God. People can't understand why I get my dander up and even have some name-calling campaigns for all the stuff going on out here. Well, they have no revelation I've got, I can tell you that. No way, shape, and form. This week, the Lord willing, I wish to speak some on that. Out in our campaign here at the Embassy Hotel. And get acquainted with my humble way of doing it. The time and the hour we're living in, if a person don't know which way to go and what to do or how to turn, you're not walking by faith anymore. You're just guessing. You're presuming. Now, you can't explain it, but you got to know where you're at. And presume is to advance without official authority. So if we haven't got a real official authority to know what God said would take place in this hour, how are we going to face this hour? Now, they could say, well, what about the other ages? Look at this age is different. This is the hour when all but the very elected. Now, it doesn't say elected, it says the very elected. My understanding on that has to be, as far as I can see, those that do not die, but they walk in immortality. They're the only ones that don't get fooled. How are we going to face this hour? And we've got to face it knowing by faith in his word, the things that are supposed to be happening now, and the condition of the nations, the condition of the people, condition of the church, and so forth. We've got to know that. And then how to walk out to face it. If you don't know how to do that, you're just what we used to call haphazardly, just jump in hoping it'll be there, hoping this and hoping that. And will it be? God don't want us to do that. He wants us to know what he has said about this day and then meet it by faith. Because he said it would be that way. You see, there's where your faith is. Your faith is built on a foundation, a capstone. Look, he was the original triunity of God come down. Like a pyramid. He's the original cornerstone. And now you're back to the definitive faith of God. You say, faith of God, why? I'm talking about God's own definitive faith. Which simply means this. That God manifests and proves the manifestation so that you have faith in it. That brings you to God's own faith at this very minute. Now, even Jesus had to go that way. He said, I don't do the works, the Father does the works. He said, if you can't believe me, then words, then believe the works. That'd be that faith. You got to know that. Then how to walk out and face it. All right? He said that about this day. But God wants us to do that. He wants us to know what he said about this day, then meet it by faith, because he said it would be that way. Then we know your truth then, because you haven't got some person's word for it. You've got his word of what we must do. And we're hoping our Heavenly Father will grant us this week. Now, I'm sorry that I cut off what I was saying a few moments ago about coming to Tucson. And I thought myself that it was the end of my life. I thought no one could ever stand that shock of that condition. Now, that's about the seven angels that appearing, see? And the great blast that went with it. It happened that morning, 10 o'clock at home. that would ever be able to live after that. Why I come to Tucson making arrangements with my son, my wife, and children to go with him after I was gone, because I thought it was my end. In other words, he talked to Billy Paul and told him to take care of the family. And I in Phoenix, the man in the meetings, before it appeared, I told you just how it would happen. He said there's many people from the Phoenix meeting that knew just what took place. Well, a few months after that, I was up in Sabina Canyon one morning, which is just north of Tucson. I was up there to pray. And while I was praying, I had my hand up in the air saying, Father, I pray thee, thou wilt in somehow help me, give me strength for the hour that I'm now facing. And if my work is finished here on earth, then I must come to you. And it's not that I regret coming, but I know that you'll take care of my family. And I'm just asking for strength for this hour, and something struck my hand. Now, radio audience, that may seem strange that I've said, but it's the truth. And God is my judge. I looked at my hand. There was a sword. Had a sheath over the handle part. The handle itself was made of pearl. Just looked like kind of gold-like guard over the handle part. And the knife, it looked rather like it was kind of shiny. Something like chrome or something glistening in the sun. Now, it was about 10 or 11 in the morning, way on top of a mountain. You can imagine how a person that I feel in my right mind would feel standing there with the sword from nowhere, people for miles and miles, holding that in your hand. In other words, he said miles and miles from anybody. I fell of it, took and waved the blade back and forth, and why it was a sword. And I looked around and I said, well now, how could that ever happen? Here I am standing right here, and no one around for miles and miles. Where'd that come from? And I said, well, I suppose maybe it's the Lord telling me it's end time. And a voice spoke and said, this is the sword of the Lord. And I thought, well, a sword, then it's like for a king tonight. That's the night people, see? You hit him with the flat edge of the sword, if you like them. You know how it used to be done in England in different places. I thought, that's what it's for, tonight. Tonight people, see? And I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to lay hands on people. Human mind can be all messed up, you know. You don't know. Our mind is infinite. Our mind is finite. He's infinite. His is infinite. And so, as I was, then I left my hand. I didn't know where it went. Just disappeared. Why, if a person didn't understand a little bit about spiritual things, you'd go crazy like that. You'd be standing there, wondering what happened. And he said, the vision is not your end time. It's for your ministry. That sword is the word. The seven seals will be open. Now notice, this is much more definitive than what he previously said. 562. The wind had blown my old black hat down. I was standing up there, standing with my hands up praying. I said, Lord God, what does this mean? I can't understand, oh Lord, what am I to do? If it's my going home time, let me go up here where they'd never find me. I don't want nobody to be mourning around if I'm going. I just want my family to think that I just took a walk and they won't find me and hide me away somewhere. If I'm to go away, why, just let me go. Maybe Joseph will find my Bible someday laying here and let him use it. See, if I'm going away, let me go, Lord. And I had my hand out and all at once something hit my hand. I don't know. I can't say. Did I go to sleep? I don't know. Did I go into a trance? I don't know. Now, that's in 63. This is in 65. This one here is in 63, he said now. I can't tell you. Was it a vision? Don't know. The only thing I can say is from what I, just the same thing like them angels was. It struck my hand, it looked like it was a sword. That pearl handle was real pretty. A guard over it with gold. The blade looked like chrome, like silver, only it was real shiny. It was so feathered sharp, oh my, and I thought, isn't that the prettiest thing, just fit in my hand. And I thought, that's awful pretty. But I said, hey, I'm always afraid of them things, the sword, and I thought, what will they do with that? And just then a voice shook down through there and rocked the rocks and said, it's the sword of the king. And I came out of it. Now if they'd said the sword of a king, but it said the sword of the king. And there's only one the king, and that's God, and he has one sword, that's his word, what I live by, so help me God. Now notice, bring on his holy vesture with his holy word laying there. It's the word amen. Now that's the dressing of the bride. You can say what you want. I don't care what anybody says. I believe what I teach. Or I wouldn't teach it. And I know I'm right because I got the Bible for it. He said he's here to dress a bride, didn't he? What a day we're living in. What a great thing. See the mystery of the secret. Standing there when this left me, something like just came to me and said, "Don't fear." I didn't hear any voice like on the inside spoke to me. I just tell you the truth, just exactly what happened. Something said, "Don't fear." This is that third pull. Now, he said, "The vision is not your end time, it's for your ministry." We know that. The sword is the word. The seven seals will be open. So that's the big thing that we know that this angelic visitation came for. And it would be the word. And then 2 weeks after that, or 2 months rather, after that, I was in the mountain with a bunch of friends went in heaven. Seven angels, just as clear as you're standing here, came sweeping down from heaven. The rocks in the mountains rolled out and down the hills, and people standing there were screaming going on, you know, and dust flying everywhere. When it was, he said, "Return to your home. Now will be, each angel will be one of the seals of the seven seals." Now, there again, you're getting a more definitive statement than you had previously concerning this. Return to your home. Now will be, each angel will be one of the seals of the seven seals. Seven angels would present then seven seals. That's what he said. All right? Okay, rapture. I got the right place here now. Okay, paragraph 107. Now, here also a type of the seven church ages, which is Revelation 10, that the great mystery of the book was to be unfolded by the seven angels' message. Now, there's a messenger above all these and a messenger on earth. The word angel means a messenger. And the seven angels' message, while he was making his proclaiming his ministry, that when he begins to sound forth his ministry, not when he started out. Jesus, when he started out, he started healing sick and afflicted. Oh, that great rabbi, he's prophet. Everybody wanted him in his church. But when he sat down one day and said, "I and my Father," one, that was different. That was different. And except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, he's a vampire. See, that was different. He didn't explain it. They'd already seen the manifestation, the vindication of the word of God for his age made real and proved to them that he was that messenger of that age, and he didn't have to explain anything. Now, you're getting to a fact here where he's letting you know that the great messenger from above, of course, one, is God himself. He's his own messenger of the covenant. There are other messengers down here, which have been seven through seven church ages. And now to the seven church age messengers, seven messengers come in the form of angels. And you'll notice in here he said, now will be each angel will be one of the seals of the seven seals. Now remember he also said, under the first seal, what a mistake I would have made, but the Holy Spirit swept in the room. Now I can hardly believe that an angel stood there to tell him something and he still would have made a mistake and the Holy Spirit had to come around and correct him both the angels. I believe that those are the seven spirits before the throne. And four in the form of an angel came down. I could be wrong on that, but I doubt it. I'm looking at it in the supernatural sense. Now, return to your home, which will be each angel, will be one of the seals of the seven seals. Now, now concerning the seventh seal, he says here in page 564, I better stop right here. I just feel checked not to say no more about it. See, just remember, the seventh seal, the reason, was not opened. Now watch carefully what he said. So just remember, the seventh seal, the reason, it was not open. The reason he did not reveal it, no one should know about it. Now, these phrases to me are in apposition. In other words, not opened means no revelation. In other words, it was opened because you cannot have the seals torn off, the book opened, with one seal left on. It's impossible. And I want you to know, before you ever knew any word about that, the vision that came years ago, remember, and here it is just as this other has, slides right in the word exactly where it was, and God knows my heart, I never one time thought of such a thing as that, and here it was, this lady, and we think, oh my, just shows it's from God. All right? That little room in there, nobody knew what's going on. Something was going on. He tells you the same thing here, that the seal, though open, the revelation of it was not set forth. Now he said, which is on tape, these seven seals, and the book will be up pretty soon, being now it's kind of grammarized. Okay, let's go to page 577. I think what I want, maybe I get some of these pages down wrong. Okay, and seven angels. I was in the west, remember, little bitty messengers, they went east. The second messenger, the dove's a little bit larger, went east. Now I looked, they was with me all the time. That was that first and second pole. Now the third come from the west, sweeping with forward with great terrific speed, they picked me up. Now, you notice he said the little bitty messengers, second were larger birds, went east, and they were with me all the time. This wasn't with him all the time, the third one. Number one and two. You remember, the first of all came manifestation, and then came discernment. All right. This third one was not. That was coming back east with the mystery of these seven seals. Just like it said in Junior Jackson's dream, the Lord let me interpret for him there. On the inside of that pyramid, there was white stone that wasn't written on. That's the reason I had to go west to connect with those angels' message, to come back here to reveal it to the church. You remember I said the next thing that happened will be here at the church. That did seem. Another thing I want you to notice, what had taken place. If you're listening to the tape, at what time is it, sir? You'll notice that one angel was very notable to me. The rest of them just seemed ordinary, but this angel was a noted angel. He was to my left in the constellation in the form of a pyramid. And you remember it was in the pyramid where the mysterious white rock was not written on. And the angel took me to that pyramid of themselves, and the mysteries of God known only to them. And now they were the messengers that come to interpret that pyramid or that message of the secret of the seven seals which lay inside the pyramid. Now, in other words, the pyramid that Junior Jackson saw in a dream left open, no words to interpret it, is now a pyramid of angels, and what should have been written there, couldn't be, is with these, and they've got to tell him. That's that right? What else does it mean? I don't know if I understand language. Now, if you give me electric shock and blow my brains, then maybe I can understand, according to some people. Now, the angel to my left would really be the last or seventh angel, if we would count from left to right, because he was on my left. Me looking to him toward the west, him coming toward the east, would be on the left side. Sorry, he's looking west, and they're coming east. And it's on the left side. So that would be the last angel's message, very notable. You remember how I said that he had his head kind of back, and his great sharp wings, and how he flew right to me? Now that is this seventh seal. It is still a notable thing. We don't know what it is as yet, because it's not permitted to be broken. Well, did he have seven messengers or didn't he? Now, he said it's not permitted to be broken. Another place revealed to the public. But now each of you in the meeting has noticed that what a meeting it's been. Everybody just seemed to be right on the end of their seat. Everybody standing around here at 1 and 2 in the afternoon waiting for the doors to open up and get in here front. Standing around the walls, cramped limbs, everything. What is it? It's been the Holy Spirit sending down. Now notice, it's been the Holy Spirit sending down these messengers, and they have been revealing it to us. And then notice how it's dovetailed with the word exactly. The angels brought the messages. And then to let you all know that it is that this is truth, he foretold it about 2 months now or more before it happened, that when I went west not knowing it, come back here with the interpretation as he has given it. Now remember, interpretation is to make manifest. If it isn't brought before you, that's not the interpretation, that's just a guess. God reveals his word by manifesting, interpreting. That's interpretation. Now remember the vision. He never told me one thing in the vision when he took me up. I was scared, afraid I was going to die to be killed in an explosion. You see, they could not do it. The interpretation just come as I had need of it. That was in the room. And I gave it out just as he give it. Now remember, he's the only one, he said, his ministry different than everybody else's, because he was the only one that could tell it word by word. Which means a prophet can have thousands of words and not make one mistake. All right. Now, let's go back to 560. Now, have you noticed the mysterious part of the week? That's what it is. That's what it's been. It's been not a human being, a man. It has been the angels of the Lord. Notice there's witnesses, the three sitting in here, that a little week ago, I was up way up in the mountains nearly to Mexico. When two brethren, they're sitting here picking a cockleburr or a sandburr off my trouser leg, a blast went off that almost looked like shook the mountain down. Now that's right. I never told my brethren, but they noticed the difference, said to me, now be ready. And he said, I'll be ready and go east. Now whatever that voice was, this is not angels. Now this is what talks to him. Here's the interpretation of that vision, see. Now to let you know, Brother Sothman has not got the game they went after. We were trying to get it for him. And he said, now tonight, for a sign to you, he isn't going to do it. You must consecrate yourself at this time for the visitation of these angels. And I felt beside myself, you remember, and I was in the west, the angels coming east. And as they come by, I was picked up with them. Do you remember that, coming east? And Brother Fred in here tonight is a witness, and Brother Norman. As he went down, almost persuaded that man to stay and get his game. Is that right, Brother Sothman? Yes, he stands right there, I persuaded. He won't do it. Something sitting by the side of the tent that day. Remember, Brother Sothman? About as soon as some things were being told, I put you and Brother Norman. Where's Brother Norman back there? Put him under oath. They wouldn't mention what was taking place. Is that right? Did I turn around and walk away from that tent like that? Is that right? Because this is what it was, exactly what it was. And knowing that I couldn't say it until it happened to see if the people understand it. What are you talking about? That visitation. What it's all about. What it's going to be. And did you notice that one angel I said in there was a strange angel? He calls it a strange angel. One place he calls it notable. Could call it, would be, in other words, particularly characterized by marks of distinction from the others. Impressive. Stood up. He looked more to me than any of the rest of them. Do you remember that? They were in a constellation, three on one side, one on top. And one right next to me here, counting from the left to the right, would have been the seventh angel. He said there were three on one side and one on top. And the one to the right of me here, counting from left to right, would have been the seventh. I know that would have to be up at the right-hand corner. Next to the one at the peak, if that was number one. Or did number one start at the left and go plumb around till the pyramid became number seven? I wouldn't know. He was brighter, meant more to me than the rest of them. You remember I said he had his chest out like that was flying eastward. Do you remember that? Pick me up, lift me up. Do you remember that? Here it is. The one with the seventh seal. The thing that I've wondered all my life. Them other seals meant a lot to me, of course, but you don't know what this has meant to me. For one time in life, I prayed, cried to God after a Phoenix meeting. Any of the people there with me know I laid in the mountain. One morning got up and went in Sabina Canyon, great rugged high mountain, and went up there and there was a little foot trail after you led off,
go up to Lemon Mountain, 30-mile walk, up there about 30 foot of snow. So up the mountain real early before day, going up to a little foot trail, rocking, rolling rocks along. I felt led to turn this way. And I turned, went up into some great jagged rocks, oh my, hundreds of feet high. I knelt down between those rocks, laid down this Bible, laid down this book, little tablet, and said, Lord God, what does this vision mean? Now he's saying the same thing he said over yonder. Does it mean my dying? Remember I told you I thought it might mean my death because something exploded that just shook me to pieces. Remember how many times have you heard it? Now you also remember, of course, that he heard Joe screaming. And Joe was crying at the time that he was injured fatally. So there's evidently a compound meaning in here you wouldn't talk about. And I thought it could mean my death. Then the room said, what is it, Lord? What does it mean? Does it mean I'm going to die? If it is, all right. I won't tell my family. Just let me go. See if my work's finished. Now, what was it? But he sent back a witness. You remember me telling you it wasn't that. It was a furtherment of my work. Do you get it? See, sitting up in Sabina Canyon, the Heavenly Father knows this. Just as true as you saw that come to pass, those angels came right down and vindicated every message to be the same. Then you know whether it comes from God or not. It was foretold by a vision. I couldn't tell you the service was over because I was forbidden to. In Sabina Canyon, setting up there that morning, I had my hands up and the wind had blown my old black hat down. I'm standing up. You know, I read this before, you know. What does it mean? I can't understand. Is it my going home? Let me go up here where they'll never find me. Just want my family to think I took a walk. They won't find me. Hide me away somewhere if I'm going. Just let me go. Maybe Joseph will find my Bible. And I had my hands out. All at once, something hit my hand. I don't know. I can't say that I go to sleep. And then, you know, just we read this before. He said, don't fear. I didn't hear any voice. Like on the inside, I spoke just to tell you the truth. Don't fear. This is that third pull. The third pull, you remember it? You've had so many impressions on impersonations on this. What you tried to explain. Now, this is the voice saying, you've had so many impersonations on this. What you tried to explain, don't even try this. See? Now, there's... remember, Brother Branham categorically said that there would be impersonations of truth concerning the rapture, which would be the message, impersonations of the ministry. Now, he said, there's one thing, though, you won't try to explain it. Do you remember? How many members had vision? Why, it's all over tapes and everywhere. That's been here about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Don't try to explain that. This is the third pull. I'll meet you in there. Is that right? Now, he's talking about the seven angels. He's talking about the sword, the word. And he's talking about meet me in there. Well, did he meet him or did he not? Who was in the clouds? That's what you're looking at. So, all right. The standing little baby shoe, and he told me, now, make your first pull. When you do, the fish will run after the lure. Make your second pull, because it'll only be small fish, then the third pull will get it. The ministers around said, Brother Branham, you can do it. Hallelujah, Brother Branham. That's where I always get tired of a bunch of preachers. I love people, and I try to explain everything, this, that. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, understand fishing. Now, the first thing you do, here's the way it's done. See little fish all around. You just jerk the lure. That's fishing tactics. Jerk the lure. Now, you see, when I jerked the lure the first time, the fish take out after it, but they were little ones. That's just like they were catching. You see, what it is, the first thing begins to attract. Then, when the first attracts, it sets up a movement for a second attraction. That, in turn, would set up for a third attraction. And the third attraction would be what you're moving to all the time, if you know what you're doing. In other words, one and two are expendable, but three is not expendable because this is where you're going. So, all right. So then I said, then you're set. And then I jerked it out in the bank, and I had a fish, but it looked like skin over the lure. You see, he didn't catch what he's supposed to catch. When they got that, he should have pulled the lure away from them, but he stood to explain it, and they all ran out, and what he caught was a mess. Just didn't catch, just couldn't do the thing he's supposed to do. I stood there crying. And the man said, I told you not to do that. All the line was tangled around me like this. Now, you remember that when I stood by Brother Branham that time, the line was tangled around his feet, too. And who straightened the line? It certainly wasn't Lee Vail, certainly wasn't William Branham. He got untangled by Almighty God. The word corrected the error. How it was done, you asked me to explain how that cord got. Now, remember, that was a pretty heavy microphone cord. You asked me how it got around, how it got by his feet. Don't ask me anything. I can't explain anything. All I know, it happened. All we really need to know factually is the fact that those seven seals were opened. Those angels did it. It's done. The shout has gone forth. The next thing is the voice. The third is the trumpet. There's a lot of things you don't need to worry about. And people are still running after the lure. The Pentecostal pussycats, the little fish, are still trying to go back to those other things. They're over. See? Now, he said, I'm a stupid person. Forgive me, Lord. I had this line and that. What I had in my hand was a little baby shoe about that long. And I had that string was about a big around my finger, half an inch like. And the out in the shoe was about the size of maybe 1/16 of an inch. I tried to lace this little shoe with that great big inch cord. Or about a, it would be about a half inch cord, maybe. It wouldn't be a half inch really, maybe. The voice said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Now let them alone. See? Just then he picked me up. Now, where did he get picked up? Where else did he get picked up? Took me up and set me way up high to where a meeting was going on. Looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort. I looked in there. There was a little box, like a little place over there on the side. And I saw that light was talking to somebody above me. The light you see in the picture. It whirled away from me like that, went over to the tent, and said, I'll meet you there. And said, this will be the third pull, and you won't tell it to nobody. In Sabina Canyon, he said, this is the third pull. And there's three great things goes that one unfolded today, or yesterday. The other unfolded today. There's one thing I cannot interpret because it's an unknown language. And as I stand right there and looked up straight at it, and this is the third pull coming up. And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. Now, I'd better stop right here, see? Just field check not to say no more about it, see? So just remember, the seventh seal, the reason it was not open, the reason he did not reveal it, no one should know about it. And yet the angel was there with it. And this meant more to him than anything else. What did he see and know he didn't pass on? What was there that he saw and couldn't know that was to be revealed? See? Now, I want you to know before I even knew any word about that, that vision came years ago. Remember that? And here it is just as the other one has slides right into exactly where exactly where it was. And God knows my heart. Now, he's talking about the tent and he's talking about the angels, right? He's talking about being caught up. Talking about the little room, nobody knows anything, nobody knows about this. You can't explain it. You can't teach it to anybody. Because no matter what, this doesn't operate by gifts. Now that's one thing you're going to have to know right off the bat. It won't operate in gifts. And that's the Pentecost is, restoration of gifts, speaking in tongues a whole bit. Won't work. See, why? Because the life has gone out of their anointing. It's all gone. See? Remember, he's here to increase and to run this through. Now, this seventh seal is the end time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh sealed book sealed up of the plan of redemption before the foundation of the world and every bit ends. It is the end. It is the end of the struggling world. And I said, this seventh seal is the end time of all things. Okay. Every bit ends. It is the end. The end of everything. In there is the end of the trumpets, the end of the vials,
The end of the earth, the end of time, time's run out, the Bible says so. So under the seventh seal that breaks under number four will be the remainder of number four, number five, and six. Do what you want about it, but you're stuck with it. The sixth seal opened in March of 64. The end of all things. Revelation 10, chapter 1 to 7. Time runs out, angel said. Time will be no more. The day is the great thing to happen. Everything runs out in this time, the end of the time, in the end time, at the end of this seventh seal. Now he said at the end of this seventh seal. Now it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seventh seal. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. And even ends the ushering in of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. Just like firing a rocket in the air. That rocket explodes here and it goes up, then explodes again, puts out five stars. One of those stars explodes, blows out five stars. One of them stars explodes, blows out five more stars, fades on out. That's what this seventh seal. It just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this. It ends the time for that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything just ends up in the seventh seal. Now, how is he going to do it? That's what we don't know, isn't it? We don't know. It's even time for all these things and the ushering in of the millennium. Notice, the breaking of this seal was so great. The breaking of it. That heaven was hushed in it by silence for the space of half an hour. Now, is that great? What is it? It was hushed heaven. Wasn't the thing moved for half an hour? Half an hour might be a long time if you're not be a long time if you're having a good time. That's Einstein's theory of relativity. 2 minutes on a hot stove is a millennium alongside of 2 hours sitting beside your girlfriend. 2 hours go so fast, but the 2 minutes gives you sensation beyond endurement. That's what he said. Now, a half hour might not be long if you're having a good time. But the suspense between death and life, it seemed like a millennium. It was so great, Jesus never mentioned it. None of the rest of them. John couldn't even write it. Forbidden to write, see? So there, he just didn't write, but just silence. Now, do you think the angel just stood there? They had body language and eye sign language? No. 24 elders that stood before God harping with their harps. They quit playing their harps. The angels hushed the scene in heaven. Think the holy cherubim and seraphim. Isaiah saw in the temple with 6 sets. 3 sets of wings, drawer of the face, drawer of the feet, saying, Holy, 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 holy is Lord God Almighty. And even when they walked and came to the temple, the post of the temple moved their presence. Those holy seraphim hushed up, the angels quit singing. Flying in the presence of God, singing, Holy, holy, they shut up. No angel singing, no praise, no altar service, no nothing. There was silence hushed, deadly silence in heaven for a half hour. All the hosts of heaven were silent this half hour when this seventh seal mystery in the book Redemption broke open. Think of it, but it's broke. The Lamb breaks it. You know what? They were awed by it, I believe. They didn't know. There it was. They just stopped. Why? What is it? Well, none of us know. I'm going to tell you my revelation of it. I'm not prone to be a fanatic if I'm ignorant of it. I'm not giving away to delirious carryings on imaginary things. I've said some things that might have seemed strange to people. When God comes around behind and vindicates and says it's the truth, then that's God's word. It may seem strange that way. What's he telling you? Telling you the same thing he always told you. The revelation is by manifestation. God's got to do something. What's he been doing? Well, he had a ministry, first of all, to vindicate it. Proves that he's here. You got pictures and the cloud. I guess it's out there somewhere. I don't know. I brought her what happened to it. Okay. Now Brother Branham gets caught up. He'd been preaching for 6 solid nights. Now he's telling you. Now, certain as I stand the platform, I had the revelation that's revealed. It's in a threefold manner. Now I will speak to you by God's help of a fold of it. Now, if it's not open, how's he going to do it? Let's go over there first. Here's the revelation. I want to tell you this. What happens is that those 7 thunders that he heard thunder and was forbidden to write, that's what the mystery is laying behind those 7 consecutive thunders rolling out. What's the mystery behind the 7 thunders? The same as what's in the 7th seal. Because I'm going to speak of a fold of it. What? 7th seal. And my revelation is what? Now, does William Branham give his revelation or did he give what God gave him? Now, if he's still guessing... I guess maybe he's there, maybe he ain't. I can say one thing, he wasn't much of a bamboozler. Because he didn't get very many people in his trap. So by a minority program, I vote for Brother Branham that this is a revelation that God gave to Reverend William Branham. Now why? Let's prove it. Why? It's a secret that no one knows about. John was forbidden to write about it, even write a symbol. What was that? The seven thunders, write him not. Now you don't write about this. Now was he guessing? Now you can't afford to guess. You can't afford to stand and say, well, because this is so, that's so, you can't do it. There's no way. See, you just can't do it. Because all scripture has a compound meaning, and sometimes a compound revelation in compound areas of time. So you take two, you can hardly put this two to about the third power. That won't work. You'd be so far in outer space just trying to figure this one out. Under those conditions, forget it. You see, what about time? You got seven church ages to begin with. That has a time. Then you got dispensations. That's got a time. Then you got Israel and the Gentiles. That's got a time. You got about as many as 10 different variables. So if you're going to guess, with all that in mind, forget it. My guess is as good as his. So is yours. So he's not guessing. We're still with the seven mighty angels. There's no mistakes. Why? This is why. There was no activity in heaven. It might give the secret away. Do you see it now? If it is so great, it must be included because it's got to happen. But when the seven thunders, now notice, when the seven angels come forth to sound their trumpets, there is one thunder. Israel gathered one trumpet. When time shall be no more, the last trumpet. One thunder. But here is seven straight thunders in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Now why? Now it's in here. I don't think I wrote it down anywhere, and I could read you exactly what Mr. Sothman left out by not being on his toes to get everything on the tapes. But it has to do anyway. It's relaxing time. I wrote it down somewhere. I figured you'd have it, or I'd have it for you. I thought I might have written it here, but just like me, I don't. I'm not too smart. So anyway, what he says in here should put you in a state of relaxation, which is 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Okay, let's go to it. And I'll try to get you out of here. And he says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may count worthy the King of God for which he suffers, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation and to trouble you. And you, to you who are troubled, rest with us. Become relaxed. When? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers, his mighty angels. So he's telling you at that time when they came, this is that relaxation Paul spoke of. And this is that which is in 2 Thessalonians right there. It's also what you see in 1 Thessalonians. All right. Now why? If Satan should get hold of it, he could do a great damage. Isn't that the same thing he said over here in the rapture tape? All right. She calls it confusion there. Or damage. No, confusion. There's one thing he don't know. Now, he can interpret anything he wants to impersonate any kind of gift. I hope you're learning. Doesn't have a thing to do with gifts. How many gifts you've got? You can't get this with gifts. You can't prove it by gifts. It's beyond the pale of gifts entirely. Amen. And if it's beyond the pale of gifts, something has run out. Pentecost is finished, dead, dead, dead. It's over. See? So you people got interest in gifts and discernment, public and all that stuff. It shows where you're at. You're right back there in Pentecost. You better flee for your life if there's time left. I don't know. I preach rough and tough, but that's my nature. I got it right too. I was Pentecostal for years, more than any of you people here. If you ever were, most of you weren't even. How about that? Lloyd had a little smattering of leapfrog on the beach. That was his Pentecost. Yeah. Spiritual leapfrogging. Well, what kind of toboggan did you have, Norman? You were back there in Pentecost all messed up, worse than Hogan's goat, too. Not as long as me. When I left Pentecost, Pentecost left me. Lock, stock, and barrel, hallelujah. I don't have a thing to do with it. By the grace of Almighty God, period. Nothing to do with me. But he can't know this. It's not even written in the Word. That's per se. It is a total secret. So unless somebody brings it together, and Satan can't, and no gift can do it. Now let's get this flat. No teaching gift can do it. No prophetic gift can do it of fivefold ministry. No pastoral gift. No gift fivefold or hundreds of the others, like tongues, interpretation, prophecy, discernment, knowledge, wisdom, forget it. Won't do it. Because they've got to work with the Scripture. Without what Paul had. This man has what Paul had. All right. It's a total secret. Angels, everything, shut up. If they made one move, it might give something away, so they just shut up. Quit harping, everything, stop. Now, let's say that this thing comes into full view into manifestation. How are you going to know if somebody's not there to tell you what's going on? Remember, you don't get off that clean. Something comes under your nose. See, I got it. You ain't got it. You got to have a prophet to reveal. I don't care what you see. Seven, God's perfect number. Just right down the row. Seven thunders uttered straight together. Like you're spelling out something. Notice at that time, John started writing. He said, don't write it. John never spoke it. John couldn't write it. Angel knew nothing about it. What is it? It's a thing that Jesus said even angels of heaven didn't know nothing about it, see? He didn't know it himself. He said only God would know. But he told us when we begin to see these signs coming up, now you're getting somewhere, all right. Notice we begin to see these signs coming up, see? If Satan could get hold of it. Now what signs? Now what signs? What's he been talking about? His visions, his own ministry. I wouldn't know the sign out there from a crowbar in a haystack. Except his was back in the Palestine. All these other things have been going on for centuries, healing, everything else. Why, fap, I prophesied myself. I've spoken in tongues right to the dot. Come right to pass. Fine, got it. You're not talking about that. No way. Sign the hand. Discerning. Satan did get hold of it. If you want to know something, if you want something to happen, you're going to have to take my word for this. If I'm planning to do something, I know better than tell anybody about it. Now, not that that person will tell it, but Satan will hear it. See? He can't get in my heart there as long as God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. It's just between me and God. See? He don't know nothing about it until you speak, and then he hears it. And I try. I tell people I'll do certain things. Watch the devil cut off every weed and get there. See? To beat me to it. But if I can get the revelation of God and just don't say nothing about it, then it's different. Well, he's telling you something. He's got a revelation and I'm telling you what it is. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He'll try to impersonate everything that the church will do. He's tried to do it. We've noticed it through the Antichrist. But this is one thing he cannot impersonate. There's no mimics to this, see, because he don't know it. There's no way for him to know it. It's the third pull. He just knows nothing about it. See, he doesn't understand. Now, evidently, in that little room that Brother Branham was there and the miracles, the great miracles coming forth, the people came out Nothing was ever said, evidently. If they were touched, they came out whole. What happened? I don't know. What was said? Nothing. What did you hear? Nothing. What was your sensation? Nothing. There's nothing could be told. But there lays a secret beneath that. Glory to God in the highest. I could never think the same the rest of my life when I seen. I didn't tell what he saw. Now, I don't know what. I know the next step there, but I don't know how to interpret that. It won't be long. Now, he said he's going to do it. It won't be long. I've got it written down here when it happened. If you can see here, stop. That's what he wrote down. Go no further than this right here. I'm not prone to be a fanatic, just telling the truth. But you remember, the little child tried to explain how that the soul lay next to so-and-so in the inner consciousness, all that kind of stuff, which had only made a big bunch of impersonations, start after it. Now, that would have to be in a teaching ministry, and something would be picked up that would be wrong. How you'd have to take up the hand, hold the people and have vibrations, everything had a vibration in hand. You remember when he took me up there, he said, this is the third pull and no one will know it. Well, nobody did know it. There wasn't anybody in the group knew it. I was sitting there, I didn't know it. The men that saw everything happen out there, they didn't know it. We went through the whole six seals and nobody knew it. Do you remember that? The vision never failed, perfectly true. Now he's talking about the seventh seal. Now notice, remember the vision of the constellation? Charlie, here you are. Something going on, I told you this week. It's been all around you. But I wonder if you notice it. Remember the constellation and vision of angels when I left to go to Arizona. Remember that? What time of the search? You remember that? Notice, there's only one great burst of thunder. Seven angels appeared. Is that right? One burst of thunder, seven angels. And I saw the Lamb when he'd opened the first seal. I heard as it was the voice of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come see. Notice one thunder, seven messages have been sealed up. It cannot be revealed in the last day in this age. See what I mean? Now, have you noticed the mysterious part of the week? That's what it was. That's what it's been. It's been not a human being, a man. It's been the angels of the Lord. Now, Brother Brown never told anybody. He just said he was caught up. Couldn't tell him a thing. Is it the end of my life? What does it mean? Well, he gets the place of not the end of your life. What does it mean? Go on back. Go on back for the seven seals. Okay? Six of them have been in print. Seven, what? Nothing is said. Okay, the silence. What was this silence and nothing being said? Well, evidently, it's how the knowledge is going to come to the prophet and he tell us. And there'll be no mimics. No way. Notice, three witnesses sitting in here. A week ago, was back on the mountains to Mexico. Two brethren sitting there. Sam Burr, putting his, taking a cockle burr off my trouser leg. A blast went off, almost looked like shook the mountain down. Now that's right, never told my brethren, but they noticed the difference. Said, now, be ready to go east. Here's the interpretation of that vision, see? Now, let you know, Brother Sopham, not God, he's game. Now, tonight for a sign, he isn't going to do it. You must consecrate yourself at this time for the visitation of these angels. Now, what are the angels all about? Seven messages, seven messengers, seven seals. And I felt beside myself, remember, and I was in the west, the angels coming east. As they come by, I picked up with them. Coming east, that was the vision, see. Now we're getting a fulfillment. Brother Sopham here tonight, Brother Norman, he went down, almost persuaded the men that night, Jane, get the game. Is that right, Brother Sopham? And yet he said he won't do it. That's
The angel speaking said, now he's not going to do it. Never said nothing went on. And put him under oath. Now, because this is what it was, exactly what it was, and knowing that I couldn't say it until it happened. Now he said, I can't tell anybody what I'm going to do, but after I do it, I can tell them. Now he's telling you. Now, it sounds like he's speaking in riddles, and anybody pick this book up, they'll go over and say, well, I don't think he told us anything. He did. He told you the seventh seal is right there before you. Exactly what came to pass and what is coming to pass. I couldn't say anything. And notice that angel, one angel, I said in there was a strange angel. He looked more to me than the rest of them. Do you remember that? They were in a constellation, three on a side, one on top. The one right next to me, counting from left to right, would have been the seventh. That's right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He was brighter. Meant more to me than the rest of them. Remember I said he had his chest out like that, flying eastward. Remember like that? Pick me up, lift me up. Remember that. Here it is, the one with the seventh seal. The thing I wondered about all my life, amen. Them other seals meant a lot to me, of course. But oh, you don't know what this meant. For one time in life, I prayed, cried out to God. After that Phoenix meeting, any people there with me know I laid them out. One morning got up, went to Sabina Canyon, great rugged mountain. Went up there, little foot trail and so on. Now you remember I read all the rest of it. And he said, Lord, is my work finished? Now sitting up there in Sabina Canyon, just the truth's got to pass. Those angels came right down, vindicated every message to be the same. Then you know whether it comes from God or not. It was foretold by a witness. Because I was forbidden to. Now notice he said he was forbidden to say anything. He couldn't tell a thing till the service was over. The service was over, he's telling him. Now see, telling you this, in Sabina Canyon, sitting up to the morning, I had my hand up. Wind blowing my old hat down. Suddenly, a sword strikes his hand. The voice shakes the mountain down, said, it's the sword of the king. Now then, what is it? It's the Word of God. Bring on His holy vesture, for His holy Word laying there. It's the Word, amen. Now, if you want to, you can call this Word revealed, Almighty God revealed, because this is His flesh. And under the seventh seal, you see Him who is the seven seals completely revealed. There's various ways you can look at this thing. But it'll all come together in one grand view, and that is, in my understanding, the seventh seal has been opened. The Word of God has been revealed. That which is perfect has come. The perfect revelation of this hour. The revelation of the Son of Man. The definitive proof that it is the Son of Man. Everything dovetailing to this complete fact that He is here. That He brought His own Word, which is the shout, which is bringing the bride together, which is this message, which we are in now. He revealed, we in His presence, we being interdressed, through the revealed Word of Almighty God. The gifts and those things are out. The only way you can possibly have a thing to do with them is put them in that building and keep them there. Now, we're looking at those things. We have to keep them in mind as far as I'm concerned. Now he said, this here, this is the third pull. The Word. The holy vesture. The Holy Word laying there. Now, don't fear. This is the third pull. All right? You got the tent. You got the ketchup. You got this. The whole thing coming together. You've had many personators of this, what you tried to explain. Don't even try this. Now remember, Brother Branham never ever re-preached any one of those seals. Never did. Let the people ask questions.
And that's all he ever did. Do you remember it? How many remember the vision? It's all over tape. 6 years ago. This is the third pull. I'll meet you in there. Don't try. After your first pull, when you do this, the fish will run for the lure. Watch your second pull. It'll be small fish. And the third pull will get it. Now remember, the third pull will get it regardless of whatever William Branham did. Because that's sovereignty. In other words, the Word will get them. Remember, he had a second climax. Men came along saying, Brother Branham, you know, and he tells you how he messed up. And then he said in the tent vision, he's picked up. A meeting like a cathedral of sorts. I looked over there on the side. I seen that light was talking to somebody above me. That light you see in the picture whirled away and went into the tent and said, this will be, I'll meet you in there. This will be the third pull and you won't tell it to nobody. And that's what he did. Seven angels, seven revelations. Didn't tell anybody. Didn't tell what's going on. Didn't say one word. By the time it got here, what can Satan do? Nothing. There's no way he can impersonate anything. Hope people try. They won't fool anybody. Bride isn't going to be fooled. There's no way. Now he said, this is the third pull. There are three great things that go with it. One unfolded today or yesterday. The other unfolded today. There's one thing I can't interpret because of an unknown language. And I stand right there, looking right up, straight at it. This is the third pull coming up. And the Holy Spirit of God. Oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. I better stop there. If you check to say no more. Just remember the reason, the seventh seal, the reason is not open. The reason he did not reveal is no one should know it. So therefore, he said flat concerning the whole thing. What he's into, the third pull, the seven angels, the seventh seal, there was nothing said. There was nothing revealed. So nothing could be done about it. But just as soon as it comes to pass, what can anybody do about it? Nothing. There's nothing anybody can do about it. Doesn't matter what anybody says about it. There's no way it can be changed. He said he did not reveal it. No one should know about it. I want you to know before even you any word about that. The vision came years ago. Remember that? And here it is, just as the other. Slides right into the Word. He's telling you this. The tent vision, the whole thing slides right in there. God knows my heart. I never one time thought of such a thing as that. And here it is, the latest thing. Oh my. It fits exactly the promise of God, the message is in. Now notice now, for the end of time message, this seal. After all, he revealed all the six seals. It don't say nothing about the seven. The end time, the end time seal. When it starts, it'll be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. What seal is that? Seventh seal. You just get these little bits in there. They all come out. Remember, Brother Branham said, well, he said, I won't tell you, but before he's done, he always tells you. And remember, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, at the end of the seventh angel message, all the mystery of God be known, we're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. What are you talking about? Revelation 10, 1 to 7. He came down, he's here. What are you going to do? Nothing. Now remember, there isn't anybody outside of William Branham who had the proof that he alone could tell it word for word. Frisbee tries it. Grant tries it. They all try it. They ain't got it because none of them can tell it exactly as it is. Everyone make mistakes. Grant's fantastic. But he ends up in a boo-boo every single time. That he tries to prove something, it can't be done. He'll tell you your name, your address, tell you your dreams. But he hasn't got thus saith the Lord. It won't work. He hasn't got it. Now the other day, last Sunday, week ago, and I was preaching, be humble, be humble. Remember, God deals little things. I didn't realize what I was really talking about. And now I see it. It's such a humble way. You'd think it might be revealed to the Vatican. Come. But it comes like John the Baptist. It comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Glory to God's help. The hour's at hand. We're here. He said, the hour's at hand. We're here. That's like saying, we'll eat dinner at 12 o'clock. start eating. Now do you see it? The truth of God's vision, the seven angels bringing you from the west. They were coming from the west, coming back east, bringing here for this message tonight. What message? Did you get it? Didn't you get it? Now the voice of that great thunder and mission was brought. Now the voice of that great thunder and the mission that was brought here has been revealed and proven it was of God. Just think, I knew not these seals. And they've been revealed this week. Did anybody think of that? Of those seven angels? This being the message that was coming forth, them angels bringing me back here for that. Remember, the seventh messenger was the seven messengers, wasn't noted one to me, the seventh angel. It seemed more to mean any now. They were standing like this. I'm standing here watching these. See these first little birds all beat down, flew eastwards. Second bunch, bigger birds, pointed wings, first pull, second pull. The next was angels. And I was standing right there, this explosion left. I was looking this way toward the west. Come pick me up. I went plumb out of my knowing. And one of them coming, the one that looked so straight to me, was the one on my to be the left where I entered the constellation. But counting from the left to right with the seven angels, he coming across. Now remember the seven messengers. You remember the pyramid of White Rock and Junior Jackson dream I interpreted you? Notice the night that I left, there were six dreams came. Every one directly the same thing. Then the seven visions, then the vision started and sent me west. Junior was watching. Notice how perfect. I'm hoping and trusting if he realize I'm trying to put this grace on Jesus Christ, who is the author of it all. The reason you heard me talk, and the only reason you heard me talk like this before in your life, but the hour is approaching. Notice, to make assured to you, so it could be driven down, I'm fixing to leave you again. I don't know where I'll go. I must preach the gospel other places. But now you might have said I've heard all kinds of fanaticism. I don't know what. I can't judge any other man. I only answer to God for myself. But has there ever been a time I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord wasn't right all these years? Nobody else can say so because I always told it just the way he told me. Amen. Nobody else can do that, see? Now just let me show you it's exactly true to confirm it. Remember, if there be a spiritual or a prophet out of the Lord speaking in visions and make known by dreams, interpreting dreams, Joseph can interpret dreams. Now notice, now that. When this was taking place, Junior was standing in the field that had a big pyramid to it like that. Something rolled on the rocks. I was revealing that to the people. Is that right, Junior, buddy, here before in heaven? And now see, he was revealing. Now this happens. The next thing, I took some kind of bar, cut it off. Inside was white rock, nothing written. Well, how can you interpret nothing when nothing's there? At the same time, I start west. I told him, don't go out west. Stay here. Look on this. What I've taught you so far. Daniel 70 week, and these things, went west for the blast, returned to the east with the Holy Spirit interpreting this unwritten word. Seventh under seven seals. What do you want for a nickel? Now, if that isn't perfectly with God Almighty, I want you to know this. What I'm trying to say this, my friends, is to show you at the end time. Now, if them others is perfectly on the dot with the word, so is it perfectly on the dot with the word. We're here. We're at the end, friends. Soon it'll be time run out, millennium. Millions will lose their lives. Millions will be, that believe they're saved now, be counted as atomic fodder. We are living in the last hour by the grace of Almighty God, His help, His people, that they might look forward to the soon appearing of Christ. Now, what does he mean by that appearing? Well, when he appeared amongst signs and wonders, it wasn't William Branham. It wasn't the pillar of fire. It was the form of the Spirit. That's what you saw. That's what you got. What you're looking for now is the physical. How long, Brother Branham? 20 years? Well, it's 83. We just got the 20. Was that the silence? 20 years, so many months? Maybe 50. Well, 50 from 33 makes 83. Right back to 83. Maybe 100. No way. No way. You got a generation there. Got to pass away. I don't know. Maybe the morning, yet tonight. I don't know. Well, I think that's true. And yet, how many mornings have gone by? All the signs aren't in. Anybody says he knows they're wrong. They don't know any. God knows. Now notice. So help me by God, I tell the truth. That these are spirits of discernment, discerned by the Holy Spirit. And every one has been identified and everyone has identified his place in the Bible. Now, what this great secret is lays beneath this seal, I do not know. I do not know it. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell it just what it said, but I know it was them seven thunders uttering right close together, just banging 700 times, unfolding as something else that I seen. And was it a symbol? When I saw that, looked for interpretation, it flew across her. Couldn't make it out. They're exactly right. See, the hour isn't quite ready for it, but it's moving in that cycle. It's coming up close. So the thing for you to do is remember that I speak the name of the Lord. Be prepared, for you don't know what time something can happen. Well, one of the things happened, Brother Branham got taken off the scene. We didn't expect that. Another thing, we had a series of messages preached in 65 at Easter. One of which is marriage and divorce. One of which absolutely gave us absolute forgiveness and exoneration, absolution, the whole bit. And just before he passed away. And remember, December the 4th was he preached the rapture. December 24th, 20 days later, when he got the injury, 20 days later. Yeah, he died, didn't he? The 19th is when he got injured, 18th. 14 days. 24th, he died. From 4 to 24 is 20. There's your 20 again. Got a peculiar situation. I'm not trying to put anything on. I'm just trying to say, hey, there's a lot of things took place here. But the last sermon he preached, he let you know exactly where you stood. And who was in it. And he lets you know the whole story in the rapture. Who qualified and who would be there. Then does it matter? If he comes as a thief in the night, no way. Unless you're those who are not prepared. Anybody's prepared doesn't need to know anything beyond the fact that he's already prepared. And that's where we're living in relaxation right today. So when he says these words that scare people, I don't get scared. I'm either ready or I'm not ready. I'm either in it or I'm not in it. I'm not looking down the road anymore. It's not anymore climbing a ladder or going to a high promontory to make a jump off. It's each step I take. I know my Savior's with me. I know. I go have a bit of trouble. See? And when that gets on tape, send tens of my thousands of my friends away from me. It may be time, maybe the hour and hour that this great person we're expecting to rise in the scene may rise in the scene. He tells you, I'm going off the scene. How can he go off the scene unless his work's done? How can he go? So that's all I'm going to read here. I haven't got any time to read the rest. I could get down here. He said he's going to grammarize it, and then he ends in prayer anyway. And whether I take any more of this, I don't know. I just may. Because there's a lot in this one. One in a million. Preaching 65. That shows the presence. I believe, brother, sister, this, to me, I believe the seventh seal is open. I believe that the seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. I believe you got the message. I believe all these things are here in our presence. We're here in his presence. I don't have any qualms or fears of what's down the road. I believe that when you walk in faith, the kind of faith that we have in this hour, where the disciples had, to whom should we go? We're convinced. You've looked the situation over. You can't prove anything, but you believe all that you need to know has been proven. Based upon that, you make your decision. Now, for me to make a decision that I am right in my preaching, that I know where I'm going, what deals with me, and all these things, based upon what I've seen since 1947. Which began accelerating in 1953 and went into high speed in 1958. And then literally began tearing. Who knows what the momentum is this hour? I'm fully confident that my decision is the right one. And therefore, having made this decision, everything I have stands with it. And if I'm going where angel spirit are tread, I'm going where angel spirit are tread. Because William Branham has not come back and proved. No way. Let me tell you something. Those disciples made a decision one day, just like I'm talking about. They said, we're convinced that you have the word. And believe me, their boat was rocked. But one day their boat became a flying comet to God when Jesus stood in their midst and said, peace, be still. And I believe what I have based my faith on and my whole existence in Christ and in the future, that one day William Branham is going to appear in our midst and he's going to say, peace, be still. I believe that. You do what you want. Have your Pentecost, Methodist, Baptist, anything you want. Have the faith of your fathers, the faith of your mothers. Your faith is your brothers, your faith is... I tonight have the faith of God. You say you're boasting. Certainly. Certainly, I haven't come this far for nothing. I'm going all the way. One day, I'm going to have that resurrection faith when I see William Branham come out of the ground. And I will. And that's the hour that I'll know my calculated risk was the right decision. I know it now, but I can't prove a thing. All I can say is, like the thief on the cross, when he was bleeding and dying, looking at a bleeding and dying Savior, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Because believe me, there isn't one of us can prove anything. And a bunch of loud mouths sounding off like a steel drum, marimba band out of the islands. They'll like that one. Hasn't got anything but a bunch of noise. Because you can't prove anything. And even William Branham will only prove, just like Jesus when he comes back. Because Paul said, if there's no resurrection, the whole thing is wiped out. And Paul isn't here. Now, he has one advantage. He's up there where it's going on. But we have another advantage. We're down here where it's going on.
Amen.
So, we'll soon see Brother Branham and all our good friends come out of the ground. Without a doubt, the seventh seal is ushering us right into the millennium, and there can't be no millennium no how, either north or south of the Mason-Dixie, or any place else.